Howdy and welcome to the show. Cooper's Code focuses on legal issues and notable practitioners, distilling wisdom so we all achieve the best results for our clients. I'm Miles Cooper, and with today's guest, Robert Eaglehart of Cooper's, we will be discussing technology and keeping current with technology as we practice law and achieve the best results for our clients. If you're enjoying what we're doing here on Cooper's Code, please help us extend our reach by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and consider sharing us with a friend. Welcome back to the show, Robert.
Always glad to be here.
So today we're talking a little bit about technology and keeping current. Part of the reason I wanted to have this discussion is because there was a recent example in a case where just through doing a little bit of online research, you were able to learn some history about a tree. And that's a launch pad for being creative in the discovery process. And to give some background, one can do the Sunshine Act and obtain information from the city or whatever entity is responsible for a tree. But what did you do that others had not done thus far that helped you learn more about the tree?
So it was as simple as Google Street View, which takes about 5 minutes to find the tree. And then you have, I think this certain spot goes back 15 years or so. So you have 15 years of seeing the history of a tree, which is way better than the Sunshine Act, where you get a bunch of documents and they're explaining what trees are, what they look like, and they're all in words. But this way you have actually a visual of what this tree looks like. And it's, we have online search that is a powerful tool and with tons of information and just piles of stuff we can find that doesn't take much time.
I'm going to ask you some questions about this. This is not an episode to learn to be a master Google Street View. It's an episode to talk about more general principles. And here's what I mean by that. There's the old trope about catch a person to fish, feed that person for a day, teach a person to fish, feed them for life. And we're going to go granular on certain things. And really the goal is to keep people broad and open-minded so that they're not getting looped into the same old way of doing things. And the example I sometimes use is there are people who still have typewriters to fill out judicial counsel forms because getting up to speed on Adobe Acrobat is a challenge for them.
Yeah. So there's it's ever evolving. So things are changing. And if there's something that changes, like some tech is great, gives us more time to focus on topics that we need to focus on and less time on the minutia. So staying up to date with what's coming out there and what's out there, I think is a tool that every lawyer should have so that they can then focus more of their time and also learn new things about a case or a topic that might not have been able to do easier in the past.
And while I just said that this was not a episode on going granular on all things, I do think going into Street View and histories is important enough a topic that people should get a broader understanding of what you're talking about. So I know you talked about going through 15 years of Street View. Now, I go on Google Street View, I click on something, I see a picture of my house. Are you saying that I can see a picture of my house in the years past?
Exactly. So I've used this on a few cases in the sense of one was a dangerous condition case many years ago that we had the as-built. They showed a sign on that as-built to warn drivers of a crosswalk, upcoming crosswalk. And rather than go out to the location, which is always good to go out to the location and see it for yourself, but you wouldn't have been able to have seen the history of that sign. So we saw that the sign used to be there and then all of a sudden, inexplicably, it went missing at certain years before the accident, which was helpful. And the county didn't even know about it, who was a defendant. For the most recent tree case, there is a question of the condition of the tree in years past. And while there are inspections of trees, they're up for interpretation the way that they're described. And while I know the arborist would say that Google Street Views doesn't tell much because you actually got to put hands on, it can help for us to understand the kind of create a timeline. So I think also another example is it's always good to see where the incident happened. And some are in faraway locations where it used to take 4-hour drive. Now we can just quickly go there, get a sense of it so that we then understand and be able to decipher maybe there's somebody else who might be responsible. So it's a tool that is incredible for us to understand and, you know, help us pursue the case in an effective way.
And in addition to Street View, there's also Google Earth, where oftentimes people have embedded photos where, independent of the Google vehicle traveling around, people have also geotagged imagery so that you can get a sense as to what something looked like at a certain time.
Google Maps, some of them can go back. I think I've seen all the way back to the 1950s on one where I was looking up. So there's a lot there to unpack. And it's you have to be doing it in a lot of cases. I mean, dangerous conditions, one, a simple, straightforward car accident could just be another. And just so you know, they said the light was green. Well, there's no light there. So here you go.
So one of the things I'm hearing from this is, with all the various technologies out there, when one is seeking to learn as much as one can, would it be fair to say you're limited really only by your creativity in terms of where you look?
Yeah, I think you can find a lot of what's out there. You just have to take the time, and sometimes that time can be the initial start to learn something new. It will take more time than if you continue to use it, and it just becomes a more of a reaction, easier to do. So it takes, you have to commit to it. I admit myself that I used to be better at it earlier on, and now I've kind of gotten in the groove of things, which I'm trying to get out of, so that you continue to find what's out there, what you can use. I've used to be for the public records request, you had to actually send a letter. Now it's just a simple portal where you can go online. That's a very basic example of an update that's way easier because it's more efficient, it's quicker. So learning about all those things could be as little as, you know, they now have a portal to do what you have to, used to have to go down and pick up yourself, to the more of an intensive of AI and all that stuff. That's more, you know, I got to learn something new completely.
And AI is definitely a hot button issue in the legal field. I think I receive at least 10 to 15 vendors selling me or trying to sell me on some aspect of their new artificial intelligence product anytime I open up my email. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience in AI as a research tool?
Absolutely. I've actually used it to get ideas. One example was I tried to get an idea about some traffic engineering topic that I didn't know anything about. There was an old metal train track underneath the roadway, and I wonder how that affected the weight distribution. So increased cracking, decreased cracking. While it gave me a bunch of great ideas, there was no reference to it. So I don't know if it was just making it up on the spot, the AI was making it up on the spot, or if it was actually based on something. But they're taking it with a grain of salt. Another example of it can help you cut down your research time, but also I used it on a topic that I didn't know anything about, new case, new area of the law. I was doing the initial, let me learn more about this so that I had a good foundation. And it gave me a bunch of cases that I had having to go on to the old school Westlaw and using the case site, found out that it didn't exist. So it's just learning new technology, but also at the same time, keep questioning whether or not this technology is beneficial and helpful in cutting down time and making it better for you or easier for you. Those still have to remain.
Did you confront the AI on whether it had anything to say about giving you something that didn't exist?
So just like those chatbots that you get into an argument with when you're trying to get your cell phone bill or something like that, I got into a little dispute with I think it was ChatGPT, where it gave me what sounded great. I was all excited saying, oh, I'm totally going to win this motion. And then I checked it. It was wrong. Go back and tell ChatGPT like it's a real person. How dare you? And continue to get in an argument that went on for about 15 minutes. And it gave me about probably 5 to 10 different case sites where all of them were wrong. And at the end of the day, I think I ended it with, "You're stupid, I'm leaving."
A very adult approach to your dialogue with ChatGPT.
I know. I was, look back on that now and say, I was arguing with an inanimate object, essentially. So didn't get me very far.
Well, one of the things that I have found interesting in the case citation department, specifically on large language models, there was a seminar not too long ago that the Bar Association of San Francisco put on, and actually had some folks from the AI world talking about the challenges that occur. And that is that the large language models, the system is trying to predict what would come next and what information you would like to see. And the hallucinations in case sites are apparently a profound problem, because it knows you want to see something that looks like F second, 32, 1947, whatever the citation is. And so it just creates them because it's seen those models in the past and they have yet to be able to tighten it up in a way. So you end up with situations like what you're talking about, or the famous incident in New York where the fellow shepherdized his case research by asking if this was actually a real case, with a sanction that went along with that.
I have not heard that. So essentially the AI is trying to appease you and make you happy. So it gives you bogus information, but I always have to question whether or not something's giving you proper information. That goes probably new technology and everything.
But as we talk about teaching people to fish, just because it doesn't give you the right cases necessarily, doesn't mean it's not a useful tool.
Exactly. You have to give it a shot and give it the chance. And in certain things right now, it's great. I mean, it can summarize records for you. I mean, double check again. Always have to double check. It's not at the point, but using any type of new technology that's supposed to make your life easier as a lawyer and save you the time that used to be take hours to do and now takes 10 minutes, that is a good thing. So don't be scared of trying it and keep trying it. And then once you become good at it, it will. But it's the initial investment of time that is probably the most daunting aspect of any new technology.
How do you find being a parent with a young child, having an active litigation practice, having a life? How do you stay current with the technology in a meaningful way, as opposed to just kind of folding into the, well, I know how to do this on a typewriter, so I'll keep doing it this way?
I think just talking to people is probably the best, and learning. I read a lot of news, but at the same time, sometimes just a simple conversation where somebody will say something and then you're like, oh, what is that? Let me look it up. So just be inquisitive and keep learning, and hopefully you surround yourself with people who know new stuff coming out in the marketplace that's supposed to be helpful for us. And then you learn about it, try it out, and it does. And then also probably, I know a lot of the magazines out there for our industry can also be a tool to use to find out what's good out there.
I find I just post it on MySpace and look for people to give me comments and I learn all sorts of things, except nobody seems to be commenting on that page anymore.
I remember. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think I'm still friends with you on MySpace, but it's, staying up to date, of course.
So that then pivots, I think, into a space that can consume an entire episode. And that is social media and research, either on one's own client or on the defendant or on anything else industry related. Have you ended up having to go into any sort of deep dives in that department? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, what have you?
Yeah, it's great to look into those for a number of things, either to know what your client's saying or to know what the defendant's doing. Recently I actually looked up one of the defendants in a case and, found out a lot of information about them because of Facebook and the family they come from and everything like that, whether or not to pursue. So it's, there is an abundance of information out there. Probably the hardest part is to actually filter it all and find out what you need. And because you can go down the rabbit hole and it's, you'll spend hours upon hours.
Do you have other examples of tools that you've used on the technologic side that say you would not have seen 10 years ago that you've found have helped you kind of cut through the Gordian knot to get to truth?
There's one, I think on one online tool, it's called TIMS, run by Cal, traffic information management system or something like that, where
close enough for government work.
Where it was, we used to have to send out a Switters request, which would be very time consuming, not in the sense of they're difficult. It's just, I got to wait weeks upon weeks to get these back. Now you can just go on to that and say, is it worth me to do a Switters request? Oh, wait, there's been 5 accidents here. So yeah, probably is. Whether or not that means that there's a case, don't know, but it's at least, you know, instantaneous information. And that's really, information now is better than information tomorrow. And so there's tools like that. Another example is boards like Reddit for a product case recently. There was an allegation that there was a defect with the bike. Go on to Reddit, and then there's a bunch of people saying, this happens to me, the same thing that happened to the client. So it helps you learn information quicker than by actually going through the traditional processes in the past of formal discovery or send me what you have. Now you have tools where you can learn it and surprise the other side with information or just learn something that you needed to learn.
Well, you raise a very good point on the product side. One doesn't necessarily need to wait until there is a recall or a safety advisory from the Consumer Product Safety Commission at this point. You can start doing what is in essence pattern recognition by seeing in Reddit or in subchannels on a particular group where they have a very particular focus, you'll start to see comments and you can see the recall before the recall happens.
Exactly. And it's in days past, it was, you could only do a select few of the experts who had the information. Now there's a lot of people out there with the information and it's, you don't have to have a publication to learn it. You have other sources that you can learn in. You'd have to, of course, again, take the information with a grain of salt, but at least it's there and you can learn more because there's a lot more people out there with knowledge than just the so-called experts.
A takeaway, kind of a global takeaway that I feel like I'm hearing at this point is to constantly be curious, to pay attention to what's going on in our industry, meaning whether it's panels where people are talking about new tools that they've come across. And I will generalize by saying young folks, but I find that people who are coming to our industry who haven't had their mind occluded or sclerotic, they're coming straight out of college or high school where they're using tools that we aren't seeing on a regular basis. They sometimes bring us some of the more interesting things that we have not considered.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily only have to be now this new tool in the legal community that can be applied specifically to our profession. It could be other things like 18-year-olds using this cool product that, oh, what are the other applications that I could use that for? And that's actually a great idea. Let's do that. Let's move forward, see how it works. So it's always be curious.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Stay thirsty.
Are there other things that you think should be brought forward in terms of making sure that one constantly adapts to stay current?
It's one of those things of never be comfortable with what you're doing and always be looking into how you can improve. It should be a constant improvement cycle because if you think that what you're doing is perfect, you're probably wrong. There's always a way that you can improve yourself. And if you ever start getting in the position where you think that this is the only way I'm ever going to do it, you aren't growing. So always wanting to grow probably and keeping that in mind, stay curious, always grow, whatever it may be to motivate you, but always get better.
You're reminding me of a quote from an old rowing coach, which was, learn to love living in discomfort.
That's probably the best thing. you put yourself in tough positions, and then by that, you get better, better person, better at what you do, better at representing your client and uncovering, we're investigators, so uncovering new facts as well.
Well, as always, Robert, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening today. Please email us at podcast@coopers.law with questions, comments, feedback, and suggestions on how you use technology and make sure that you stay current and don't become scleri and old. Like what you heard? Share us with a colleague and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. To all of you doing justice out there, happy hunting.